This is the When You Die podcast. If it has to do with death and dying, we're talking about it. I'm Johanna Lunn, your host today. Today, I welcome Francesca Arnoldi back to the show. In addition to being a birth and death doula, she is the course developer, facilitator, and program director of the University of Vermont Lerner College of Medicine End-of-Life Doula Professional Certificate Program. I've spoken with Francesca before about her wonderful book, Cultivating the Doula Heart, Essentials of Compassionate Care. And I'm delighted to talk to her today about her new book, Map of Memory Lane, a richly illustrated book for children that introduces the important role that memories of those we love can be a lasting legacy. You can reach Francesca at her website, francescalynarnoldi.com, or at her website, contemplativedoula.com. First, I have to say, Francesca, I'm so happy to be talking to you about this, especially because children are an essential part of our human society and yet are often the ones that are left out of some of the most important passages. So death being a big one, and there's not a whole lot of resources for children, although they are out there. So I'd love to hear you talk about your inspiration for this wonderful, wonderful book, Map of Memory Lane. And, you know, you are a birth and death doula, and I'm just wondering, was there something in your experience professionally that made you want to do this, or is it because you're also a mom?
Yes, all of that. Thank you for the invitation to talk about it. I kept hearing within our graduate community especially, but even more broadly than that, that people are seeking these types of resources. And there are usually questions posted and posed to other people, you know, what do you utilize if we're working with a family and there's a young child, or if a young child is deep in grief, what do you lean on? And so there would be some resources shared, and I kept feeling pulled in that direction because, as you said, I've been a birth doula for quite a while, and in my birth doula bag, I have quite a few picture books that I utilize, and I also would teach sibling preparation classes. And I think that's such an important part of the family journey when there are children already there, and then they're pregnant to welcome in a new life. And then with my death doula work, it's not as readily available, and it's not as generally infused into the preparation period. So I wanted to be able to offer a new resource to people, and the original inspiration for the actual storyline comes from my own childhood and a memory of spending time with my grandmother, and I was quite young, and we were at her kitchen sink, and we were drying dishes. And I think clear out of the blue, which often happens with kids, I looked up to her and I looked at her face and I noticed some wrinkles. And I said, "Grandma, are you going to die?" And I think she was completely caught off guard, but just my grandma's my gram. And she chuckled and she smiled at me in a really reassuring way. And she said, "Yes, I will die someday. I will die. But that's okay. And I'm not afraid of that. And I've lived a good life." And that was it. I didn't have any follow-up questions. I felt like I got the information I needed. She was honest with me, which I really appreciated. And I was able to move on. And she planted a seed there that has obviously stuck with me ever since.
That's great. I love what you were just saying about, as a birth doula, that you've used picture books as part of preparation. And as a death doula, when you have the opportunity to work with a family and an individual as they're dying, it seems like those kinds of resources are equally important for the family. I just really like that idea. So maybe you'll be teaching children death preparation in the future. You never know. But that isn't a bad idea, really.
And I think ideally, if we start even sooner, yes, you know, definitely when a loved one of theirs is facing imminent death, but perhaps even sooner in good health, just as part of a life lesson early on.
I think there's a lot to that. And the way we talk about death and dying with children is really important too, isn't it? Using words like dead or dying and not passing away or anything that could be
symbolic or ambiguous to a child, but actually being concrete and clear. That, again, I think there's a huge education around death and dying for a broader public, not just about advanced directives and all of those kinds of preparatory things that we as adults generally think about if we're thinking about it at all. But with children, they have pets that are going to die. I can't tell you how many turtles died. And then I had a hamster that died. It was always a little shocking and whisked away. Like, don't worry, we'll get you a new hamster. Well, wait a minute. You know, what happened to the first one?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that because we just wrapped up our companion animal training program. And I hear these stories that adults are carrying from their childhood. And they often include this unhealed wound from a loss, such as what you explained, that they weren't told the truth about it. They weren't involved in the decision making. There was no preparation. And then all of a sudden, their pet has disappeared from their life and they're left feeling so confused and alone in that experience. And as you said, adults, you know, we're very well intentioned. We want to try to spare children pain and suffering, yet we leave them to their own imaginings. And then what they come up with and what they might feel like, for example, children sometimes wonder if they are to blame for what happened. That's a very lonely, upsetting feeling for a child to hold silently. So if we can open up these conversations and plant those seeds, you know, this book, while it's about a grandchild asking a grandmother about the inevitability of loss in a more tactful way than I did with my grandmother. So Lee, the main character, asks, "Will you live forever, Nana?" It's really applicable to any sort of loss. And I've created a companion activity book. And in it, I've explained that this activity book is to be able to personalize a keepsake, either in honor of a beloved, so a person or a pet who has died, or that two people could work on together to capture their favorite moments that they share.
And this is what I love about Map of Memory Lane and my Map of Memory Lane, the companion piece to it, is that what we hold when someone has died are those memories. So it's this kind of an ideally proactive way that maybe you could work on that with your child or grandchild before you die, just recalling together these really good times, memorable times, whatever those memories are, that our memories are really potent. And I think having lost my mother when I was 19, wasn't a child, but I wasn't really an adult yet. Now, so many years later, decades later, what I still have of her are these beautiful memories. So to be very conscious about that, I really think is a wonderful idea. I've not seen, I mean, I'm by no means exhaustive knowledge of children's books on death and dying, but I've never seen one quite like this that really honors memory. And then your opportunity to say, here, now you create your map.
I was actually very surprised. So when this idea came to me and I thought about what's universal? Well, loss is universal, difficult as it is. And the meaningful moments that we spend with people, those are universal. While they're unique, depending on who the person is and the relationship and where they live and all of those factors combined, we still share these meaningful moments. So when I came up with the concept for Memory Lane, I thought to myself, someone's already done this. Of course, this has been done. And I researched and I cannot find any books that are focused for children on Memory Lane. So I thought, what a beautiful invitation. While the book, it gently introduces that reality, that future loss that a child will experience, it focuses on those memories. And they're not extravagant. They're very simple. They're very sweet because I wanted it to be as applicable and accessible to as many children as possible. And not everyone has gone to Disney World or traveled on a yacht in the Caribbean with a loved one. But most people have spent simple times, maybe making a special meal that's their thing that they do, or going out in the rain and splashing in puddles. Those are the times where you and your loved one are so focused on one another and not anything else. And that's what makes them special.
It's true. You think, oh, well, we should have these grand moments, these big moments, these bucket list kind of things with our children or our grandchildren. But you're right. I mean, the most meaningful memories are very simple, very human, really, when we're most relaxed in a certain way and our hearts just touch. And it's almost a wordless sort of thing. Food, of course, is always a good one. Preparing food. But it could just be, like you said, being outside doing something in the rain or in a garden.
Right. Or silly things like I take inspiration from my life, of course, in these creative endeavors. And my mom is a fantastic grandmother. My mother-in-law is as well. They're both wonderful and they love my children so much. And something that my mom came up with is she would make up silly stories about my kids, featuring my kids, and they would be the main character in these stories. And they loved them and they would beg her to come up with a sequel and what's coming next. And so I wanted to capture that in the book as well. So Lee and Grandma are reflecting on all the stories that Nana makes up about Lee.
That's so great. I'm just curious, since I know that you do active listening with some clients, and I imagine this is part of making meaning in a person's life, which is so important at end of life, making meaning, having some kind of a life review. And so I'm wondering, in that context, a book like this is also incredibly important for anyone thinking about their life, is being able to reflect on those moments together, whether you've got a diagnosis or not, that making meaning is something we could do throughout the course of our life.
I couldn't agree more. I have a death journal that I keep and I'm constantly adding to it. And my children and husband know of it and they know where to find it. And my mom, depending on, you know, the order of our dying times. In it, I have included messages, you know, sometimes letters, sometimes just little notes, sometimes lyrics, poetry, my wishes for them, some helpful instructions for once I'm gone, and some mementos, postcards, photographs, so that when I am gone, they will have this legacy project that I've created. They can still hear my voice and hear my stories that I have created just for them, because I won't be there to comfort them, but I know that this will. And I know that reflecting on the beautiful times that we have shared will help to carry them through their grief. And I've worked with other families as well, including those with young children. And it is quite a deeply held fear for a parent to wonder, will my child remember me? And if an adult is dying at a younger age, this is a more recent experience from my work, you know, this gentleman's deepest fear was really, will my youngest remember me as a parent? Because that relationship that he had with his son was so important to him. I mean, he would have done anything to be able to live longer and to see his children through their childhood years. And yet he knew that that wasn't going to happen for him. So what could we do? So we created legacy projects. And then after this person died, I also went to visit and invited his young son to remember things about his father. And we recorded some of those because he might not be able to access those memories later. So at that time, I did not have this companion activity book, but if I had, this would have been a great tool so that I could have supported them in creating this keepsake together. The younger child could have done coloring in it. You know, he could have added his own pictures to it. The older child, who's a teenager, could have written some text, could have taken some photographs. I mean, there's so many ways that you can personalize this. And then to know that they worked on it together with their father while he was alive, it's really profound how much that means to someone.
Such a beautiful, beautiful project. And really beautiful story too, Francesca. Thank you for sharing that. Really appreciate that. Yeah, well, I think we're moving forward in a more death-aware culture. And I think it really does make us treasure the moments even more that we have right now. And that's what I really hear from the story you just told, and know that, yeah, when you really think of these moments are precious. So let's capture them.
I'm so appreciative of the courage that takes to get there. And I think the pandemic has really brought that to the fore for so many people for the very first time. And I don't lose sight of how difficult that work is to be able to acknowledge one's own mortality and the endings of our relationships. I think sometimes people think, well, my goodness, it's about time. Or of course, I'm in awe of where we are getting ourselves culturally with these shifts we're experiencing and this evolution of thinking. And especially I see it with our elder generation currently, who are saying, you know, hey, whoa, slow down, pause. I want to really be in this. I want to be in this day. I want to be in this moment. I want to be present in my life. And I want to make intentional choices. I'm not just along for the ride. I'm not just a zombie going through the motions. And I think it's really beautiful. And I think that this is another way that people can embrace this and be able to set our children up in more healthy ways to be able to navigate hardship, because it's going to happen to all of us.
Yes, absolutely. And I love the emphasis here on intentionality. That seems to be a big word these days, whether you are looking to your old age and planning, well, what is a good life for me at this stage of my life? What is a good life for me at this stage? And having real intention about that. So making choices about everything from what kind of medical care you might want, to where you want to spend your final days, and to include children in that is a really beautiful, life-giving addition, if you will.
I agree.
So, yeah. And so much. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to say there's so much to this project that it touches on so many aspects of end of life, and it's important.
Thank you. I hope it will be useful and supportive. I hope that people will feel like they can tuck this into their doula bag or their doctor bag or their nurse bag or whatever role they're holding in mental health work. Gotten a lot of great feedback from people who are social workers and even spiritual care providers that this is something that they're going to utilize in good health and when children are facing a crisis.
Perfect. And do you see a place for this in schools?
I hope so. I mean, I think it takes some courage, because what's difficult is sometimes, you know, the adults in the children's lives aren't quite ready for this. And I think it's important that we honor that and we don't force it. But my hope is that it's such a gentle introduction, and that the focus is not so much about death and dying, but about our connections and our relationships, and then ways that we can honor relationships that parents might be more open to this than potentially some other resources that are focused on death and dying. And I could anticipate that the Map of Memory Lane companion activity book could be introduced, and children could kind of work through, and perhaps with a counselor in their school alongside their trusted teacher, they could look at this activity book, complete it together, and think about, you know, have you experienced a loss? And go through, this could be a loved one, this could be a family member, this could be someone in the community, it could be a pet, or it could be something else. It could be that you had to move from a home that you really loved and you miss that terribly. I mean, there are so many different kinds of losses that we can acknowledge together in communities. So my hope is that, yes, schools, libraries, in addition to hospitals might have this, and hospice homes.
That's great. I see it. I see it. I see it as a great benefit. I also think that perhaps my Map of Memory Lane might become a digital edition as well. So things like the photos and all of that would be easy attachments.
Definitely. I think it's easily adaptable to people's needs and preferences, and what they have available to them. It can be quite simple or quite complex. People can print off numerous copies of different pages that they love more than others. So that's my hope. It's truly customizable.
That's great. That's great. And where can people see this project right now?
So right now there is a Kickstarter campaign for pre-orders that's running through almost the end of July. So you can find that pretty easily on Kickstarter.com. If you Google either my name or Map of Memory Lane, it will show up. And also people can find it through my website, FrancescaLynnArnoldi.com.
Your website also will give people future information about where to purchase it or download it or however, whatever form it might be widely available in.
Yes, definitely. And I hope people come visit to take a look at it, because it's one thing to hear about it. It's another to see the beautiful work that my illustrator has done to bring this to life.
What's the name of your illustrator again?
Her name is Youngju Kim. She lives in Georgia and does amazing work. She's originally from South Korea. And part of the story that I love is how collaborative that relationship has been and how I have encouraged Youngju to honor her own heritage within the book, and as well as include mine. I'm a daughter of an immigrant, a Chilean immigrant. And so we have in our cross-cultural double spread, we have some images from South Korea and from Chile as well, including the flag from there and other places around the globe, so that we can really honor as many people and be as inclusive as possible. And our main character is a child of color. So I would specify Lee as someone with a polycultural heritage. It's non-specified in terms of race or ethnicity, but I think it's really important that children of color see themselves in picture books, and it's not happening nearly enough. So that was an intentional choice. And Lee does not have any pronouns attached. So Lee might be a little girl in some reader's eye, or a little boy, or non-binary in another reader's eye.
That's perfect. I really hope that people do go to your website, do go to the Kickstarter campaign to see the beautiful illustrations that are being put together and get a good feel for what this book is and the groundbreaking work that you're doing to bring children into our end-of-life care.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, and I appreciate your work you're doing in the world.
Thank you. Is there anything else we haven't talked about that you want to share?
Well, I hope that the companion activity book, while it's a wonderful keepsake, it also has a tip sheet that will be part of that download and that file. So it covers things like tips for supporting children through difficult conversations and through loss. So tips about following their lead, using clear language, not feeling pressured to know everything and welcoming it all, and goes into more details about that. And then tips for completing the book and prompts for getting your stories started. So I hope that that'll be really helpful for people.
Yeah, that's great. Because a lot of times it's, where do you begin, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. And even as adults, we have a hard time entering into these conversations with other adults. And often we feel like, I don't know what to say to a child. You know, I don't want to upset this kid and say the wrong thing. And not saying something generally leads someone to feel more lonely in their grief than saying the wrong thing.
So true. So true. Well, I love the care that you've put into this. Thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This conversation is brought to you by the When You Die Project. From existential afterlife questions to palliative care and the nuts and bolts of green burial, if it has to do with death, we're talking about it. WhenYouDie.org